Monday morning. Good Lord, it's Monday. Good morning and welcome to another episode of Smashy Business. I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I am Farah Bashir.
Farah Bashir, welcome to the studio with us again.
Thank you.
Yet again.
Thank you for having me.
Today, before we talk about how awful Mondays are, we're going to go through the headlines real quick. Property Finder is mulling a $1 billion listing after a roadshow. Dubai's Palazzo Versace Hotel is on sale for, the bid starts at half of the price of its cost price. And Blinks Media, a lot of questions have been raised, primarily by us, around the ownership of the media company. And an Abu Dhabi fund has sealed a $1.45 billion acquisition of a British media house. It's happened, ladies and gentlemen. You couldn't have stopped it even if you wanted to. The Emiratis have acquired a British media house. And then last but not least, a Saudi designer has accused Yasmin Sabri of sabotaging his dress. Why does that matter? On a business show, we'll find out up next. Anyways, Farah, how has your weekend been?
Well, it was a chill weekend.
Chill.
Yeah, I had my friend's birthday. We went and celebrated. And yeah, you know, like it's just like one of like those like weekends where like you just don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah.
But I did something for one day.
So you celebrated a birthday. What did you guys do? Was it like a wild party? What's happening?
Give us the tea. No, actually, I feel like I'm growing old. Maybe we're getting old. We just had like, I don't know, like some games, you know, to play together. But yeah, it was
how chill. Old did your friend turn before we talk about getting old?
Why do you expose me like that?
Yeah, I feel like
Okay,
I am older than you, so I feel like...
Well, she turned 24.
Oh, my days. Okay. Right. Moving on. I had a lovely weekend. Thank you for asking. No, I did actually have a chill weekend as well. And it's been crazy, though, because it's been, you know, we just came back from Doha. We went for the Qatar Forum, obviously, powered by Bloomberg. It was really exciting, very... you know, just a lot of things happening in Doha, in Saudi. Some of our team is in Saudi right now. A lot of events happening in Dubai. It's almost hard to keep up with everything 100%. that's been going on.
I mean, they say that Dubai is very like fast-paced, which yeah. I do agree with them on.
You do agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
I agree with that as well, honestly. You know, even when we were in Doha and we were covering this forum, it was really hard to... No, actually, it was really easy to feel the day pass by, even though it was very crammed up into, you know, 2 days. Mm-hmm. The forum was, I think, four days in total, and we went for 2 days of that, or 3 days maybe. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, it was like, you know, in Doha, you kind of feel...
the day.
You just feel the time... more, right? Time doesn't fly as fast as it does in Dubai. And I do feel that when I go to Moscow, I do feel that when I go elsewhere.
I think, honestly, maybe it's the fact that maybe... okay, look, maybe what I'm going to say is very, I'd say, nonsense. But maybe because, like, we are working here and we try to, like, juggle our lives, all of it together, all in one, for one day. Yeah. You know, like, eat healthy, work out, go to the gym... just work out and go to work and
I mean, look, it's not, you know, it's not nonsense. I do get where you're coming from, but I think Dubai generally is known for having that fast-paced of lifestyle, right?
So
even people who live in Paris, New York, etc., they always come to Dubai and they're kind of shocked and surprised at how quickly time
like
flies
tick,
here
tick, 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 tick.
And speaking of time flying, Property Finder, oh my gosh, it's been so many years. I remember when Property Finder had just launched a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago, and now already it's mulling a $1 billion listing. That's right after its $90 million Beko buyout, and it had a preliminary roadshow as well. So let's get into that story a little bit. So obviously, Property Finder is an online real estate platform. Have you ever used Property Finder?
Of course. If you live in Dubai, you for sure must have used Property Finder, whether you want to rent a house or even buy a house, actually.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, Property Finder or Bayout.com, which one do you prefer?
Both. I don't know, because I feel like not all houses are listed on Property Finder.
So diplomatic, Farah. So diplomatic.
On Bayout. I mean, I have to be right.
You are the co-host that I need for sure. Diplomacy over here. Anyway, so Property Finder initiated, according to our sources, a preliminary roadshow before it raised $90 million in debt from Francisco Partners to help buy back the stake held by its first institutional investor, Beko Capital. A roadshow, by the way, consists of presentations, sales pitches, or promotions made by companies looking to go public. It generally helps drum up interest and test out market sentiment with regards to the right valuation and price. Property Finder's founder and CEO, Michael Lahiani. Yeah, Michael. We've had some short good times, Michael, haven't we? Yeah, we're not really on good speaking terms.
Okay, why is that?
A couple of years ago, Corona times, mm-hmm. We were writing a story with another publication that I was working with, and I interviewed Michael. The story was about brokers, and he said brokers are being a little bit too sensitive.
Okay.
So I published the story, and then Michael wasn't happy with what he said and what was published. He said, "That's not what I said." I said, "Yes, it is what you said, because it's recorded." He wasn't very happy about it, and yeah, the brokers weren't very happy with Michael. And that's where it ended. So it was a short and sweet connection. Anyways,
good one, it lasted.
Michael, hope we can, we can mend things soon. Anyways, he has previously denied rumors that he's going to follow suit with Dubizzle's plans to go public. However, sources have told us that Property Finder has already met with public market investors. Those are investors who obviously only invest in public companies. And domestic exchanges like the DFM and ADGM could be possible options for Property Finder. However, they will have to fight tooth and nail to get a platform and a company like that to list regionally. Mm-hmm. Why? Because apparently they're not built to host a prop tech company, so they're not ready for that yet. It should be interesting. Let's see how it goes. But Danny Fadha, who is the co-founder and CEO of regional VC firm Beko Capital, he said in a public post that Property Finder has only just started. Beko Capital had previously invested in ride-hailing app Kareem and failed logistics startup Fetcher, among others. Fetcher is a whole other story. I think we're not going to get into it on this show, on this episode today, but that was a pretty big deal, actually, Fetcher. Anyways, our sources added, they said, historically, the DFM and ADGM have not yet successfully listed a tech-founded company. They have a lot to do before they're an attractive place for tech companies to list. Meanwhile, in neighboring Saudi, fintech company Rasan is targeting a $224 million IPO on the Tadawul, and with the price range set at approximately $9.33 to $9.87 per share, while UAE founded and then moved to Saudi, headquartered in Saudi, Tabi, of course, last year secured $700 million in debt financing and raised $200 million in equity financing at a valuation of $1.5 billion. Lots of figures.
By the way, regarding
to you, Farah.
Well, to me. So, of course, you know, you are the expert in numbers, but if I can have an outlook on this, is that Danny Fadha, who is the co-founder and the CEO as well, like the fact he said that
of Beko Capital,
Property Finder has just gotten started. It's because if you want to think about it, I would say the real estate market in Dubai is blooming, whether it's rent or whether it's you want to buy things.
And absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of people do actually tend to go to online You know, and technology, we don't do the looking for houses.
Yeah, I mean, they've made it so much easier for us to actually look for a place to 100%. Rent or a place to buy.
100%. So I do see like where his point comes from.
Yeah. I think the question now is that surely Property Finder is looking to list. Mm-hmm. Is it going to choose one of the regional exchanges, or is it going to look abroad to list? So I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Mm. Yes.
I do think the regional exchanges are looking to, let's say, facilitate and attract, you know, those unicorns. Property Finder does want to be a unicorn. So let's see what happens. I mean,
yeah. I mean, of course. And for someone who is thinking of buying a property, let's see.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, I remember, you know, when Fadi Ghandour wanted to list. I know I'm going to get
a lot of slack.
I'm going to get slack for this from Richard because I keep mentioning Fadi Ghandour. Fadi Ghandour, the legend. When he wanted to list RMX, he had to go to NASDAQ, right? And even when it came to investors, he had to look abroad for investors because nobody was investing from the region in regional companies. It's changed now. People from the region do want to invest in regional companies, and those regional companies are looking to the Tadawul, to the DFM. So
I think it will provide, like, I would say, assistance for people who want to invest in, like, I don't know, in like regionally, you know what I mean, like people who are from outside of the country who want to come and invest here in the region.
No, I mean, absolutely. Why would you invest abroad if you can invest in the region?
100% right? Agreed. Yes.
Okay, the Palazzo Versace, have you been?
Of course.
Do you like it? What are your thoughts? But before we talk about the sale, which has been going on for a long time now, right? It's everyone has been talking about it. It hasn't exactly been a hush-hush situation about the sale of the Palazzo Versace. It hasn't been doing too well.
I think, honestly, that it deserved more appreciation. You know what I mean? I think a lot of things contributed to the fact. Like, I didn't know that that existed, or like the Palazzo Versace existed, until I had an event that I had to go to, which was like a couple of years ago. But I think, honestly, that it's beautiful. I loved it so much. But
it is, yeah.
I don't think that it got the recognition that it deserves to get. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Did it not get the recognition, or did they not do enough? Was the location wrong? I think the location is, you know, next to Festival City is not that great for a luxury hotel of that size, right?
Agreed. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the hotel cost $626 million to build. It's now listed on the Emirates auction with a starting bid of $353 million. In 2016, its developer Inshaat, which is a subsidiary of Emirates International Holding, said the hotel could fetch at least $300 million. Some people were arguing in the comments that it's not true that the hotel is up for sale for half of the cost of building it, but technically, yes, it is, because that is the starting bid. Now we'll see, you know, who is willing to pay for it. It's interesting that they opted for the auction, option.
Mm-hmm. The auction option
to put it on. Yeah,
I mean, they for sure, you know, like, for it, because like it cost $626 million to build, right?
Yeah.
It must be a flop. Mm-hmm. Like, it must be flopping so bad that they had to like put a starting auction of 325.
Yeah. Right?
So again, I think honestly, like, a lot of factors do contribute to that. The fact, number one, is the location. Number two, because I know for a fact that getting around there is not really that easy.
No, it's not.
You have to go through like the Jeddah, I think.
I mean, honestly, just getting to the hotel, I don't know how it is now because I haven't been there in ages, and I haven't been there in ages because it's not that easy to get to, right?
That's true.
Basically, you had to literally, in order to get to the hotel, U-turn on a sandy road in order to get there.
Which is not, by the way, a tunnel under Jeddah.
That's one of the other ways,
And it's not only that, it's, by the way, like a lot of things, you know, like if I would want to go to a luxury hotel, for I can imagine how expensive the prices of the rooms are, right?
Yeah.
I would want the full experience. I would not want to feel like, hey, I'm at a hotel and I'm just like, it's another building between the other buildings.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Those interested in owning a piece of the luxury hotel, as we said, the starting bid sits at $353 million. It's located in Al Jaddah. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm not gonna go through the plot numbers. You can find that online, or you can just go to Smashy Business on Instagram. But the property has a total area of over 478,000 square feet. Obviously, has lavish amenities, 65 suites overlooking the city or the creek, 4 restaurants, 2 swimming pools, and a gym. And the furniture and trade license are not included in the sale. That's important to note. Viewing isn't currently available. The hotel is leased until March 2028. Rent collection and eviction are buyer's responsibility, and the new owner must notify the tenant and cover developer fees. So it's... Yeah.
It's not it for me.
It's not it for you.
It's not it. No, because you know what? Think about it. It's in Al Jaddah, right?
Oh, ouch.
There are many hotels in Al Jaddah. Okay, I'm sorry. But this is my opinion, you know? Oh. If I would want a very fancy hotel stay, I would rather have it be at the Palm, be in Jumeirah, or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like... I know, Al Jaddah, by the way, is a very beautiful community. But
is,
I can get any other hotel room, for example, in Al Jaddah, that will have probably the same view and the same everything, the same amenities, for way cheaper.
I understand. I mean, look, it is the Palazzo Versace. At the end of the day, it is absolutely unique. But look, I mean, we'll see. I do feel like besides the location, any hotel with a unique selling point like the Palazzo Versace, you know, I think the management has not been that great so far. Anyways, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to something that everyone has been kind of talking about, not really talking about, Blinks Media. Have you been following them, Blinks Media?
Yeah, I mean, I was this close to working with them.
This close to working with them, really? Mm-hmm. So who did you interview with? How did you... tell us a little bit about that before we go into it.
Well, Blinks Media, I remember it started... I know for a fact that an ex-NBC... you know, someone from like NBC who had opened the company. And because he just wanted to, you know what I mean, like, I'd say have the digital media and these short videos with amazing graphics done. That was his idea. And
that's what it looks like at first sight, right? So first of all, we got the story because we paid it. But yeah, I mean, we noticed Blinks Media. Obviously, we knew that it existed, but we noticed it because Mazen Hayek, bless you, Mazen, I'm really sorry about the whole email thing with the car. I realize I was a bit harsh. Please forgive me. Mazen Hayek, ex-NBC, well-known figure, very outspoken. He shared news of Blinks surpassing the 1.3 million Instagram follower mark on his personal LinkedIn, and he added that it's managed to attract 2 billion views in just 8 months. That's a lot. In September last year, Blinks suddenly appeared, right? It's an Arabic language, calls itself Digital Storytelling Hub, came onto the Dubai media scene in just 8 months. It's got a state-of-the-art studio, metaverse production facilities, 150 staff, a free Snapchat-like content app, and 1.3 million followers on Instagram alone. The general manager who you were referring to is Nakhle Al-Hajj. He's also ex-NBC, ex-Al-Arabiya. He told The National that he envisioned young people creating relatable content in a way the media region has yet to see. Indeed, the region has yet to see a media company whose ownership is not only ambiguous, but seemingly indifferent to making money. That's what surprised us. We started kind of looking into this. Blinks has no advertising, has no subscriptions. Its mission is more story, less noise. There's not too much noise around Blinks, not too much information divulged. It gets more interesting though. Not a lot of people look into this, but we actually went onto their website, went onto the copyright and trademark section and the applicable law and jurisdiction sections on the Blinks website, and we found out that the company is actually registered in the Seychelles. The Seychelles is obviously known for benefits like confidentiality and being a tax haven. So that was interesting because the owner is still unknown, right? So far, El Hajj and Creative Chief Officer Fadi Raldi, also ex-Arabia and ex-Paramount, those two are the only media-facing figures known related to Blinks, right? One article even calls El Hajj the founder of Blinks, despite sources and a lot of information online saying that he's not actually the ownership. I mean, the studio alone costs millions of dollars, according to sources. I mean, it's a little bit far-fetched that he is the sole owner, right? And there are no investors. Our sources tell us it's an Abu Dhabi owner. But we will get back to you guys on whether or not we can reveal more information.
Well, all that I know of is when I was, you know, like speaking with them, is that Nakhli was the actual like founder of it. So I don't know that much details of it. All I know is like Nakhli and Fadi, and I follow them actually on social media. And they're really nice. I mean, that's like they're really nice. And
you should get them in the studio, Farah.
Oh yeah,
so we can ask them more questions.
Hi Fadi, wanna come to my studio?
I don't think they'll wanna come after this, but
I mean, I hope they're not watching. But you know, because like again, like they hire everyone as a storyteller. You know what I mean? They don't have like, you know what, everyone who goes there is a storyteller. And they have that belief, like you go there and you have a story to tell, and everyone has like let's say like their own specification in storytelling. Like someone is specified in fitness, the other person is specified in
politics,
and then the other person is specified in let's say celebrity news. And by the way, like a lot of the storytellers that are working with Blinks as well, they are my friends. You know, they have, I mean, like,
should have gotten us the behind the scenes. Farah,
already have some behind the scenes.
What are we doing here? Farah, first Emirates, now this.
Yes, seriously. I mean, who am I?
We need to have a chat after this.
We do. I mean, I can just like say it right now, for example, like Tariq Ghanem, he was a very, I would say he's my friend, and he worked as a host for NBC for like years. And then he got like the offer to work with Blinks, and he left NBC to work with Blinks as well.
What was the offer?
That's he is actually, you know, he does like the celebrity news, and I'm like
was it double or was it triple or? Because I feel money-wise.
Money-wise, it's good money.
Good money, right?
Good money.
So it's good money. They're hiring really good talent. They're paying them good money. our producer is asking if they have any vacancies. Hisham, I feel like one day you're just gonna get us fired. No, but seriously though, you know, they're hiring really good talent. They're paying a lot of money. They have really fancy, you know, state of the art studios.
Yes.
Let's be honest, the production is absolutely top notch, brilliant.
That is
However, where is the money? Show me the money. No subscribers. Free app. No advertising. Where is the money coming from? Right. It must be someone, and I'm guessing from Abu Dhabi. Moving on to Abu Dhabi. back to Abu Dhabi. An Abu Dhabi fund. Finally, you know, I had my fingers crossed for this because the UAE has been trying to. You know, they bid for the Spectator and the Telegraph, and I was hoping, really hoping, that they would get it. There was a law issued by the UK. Obviously, they were worried about freedom of press, which doesn't make any sense to me at all because there is no freedom of press, right? It's only based on your agenda. Anyway, in a move shaking up the global TV landscape, Redbird IMI, we're going to be hearing that name so often. It's a joint venture between US private equity firm Redbird Capital Partners and Abu Dhabi. Abu Dhabi based, sorry, Media Powerhouse International Media Investments, IMI, they finalized their acquisition of All Three Media, the UK's largest independent TV production company, for $1.45 billion. That's a small number.
Oh my God.
It's the biggest deal yet for Redbird IMI, which was set up just last December. But I just know we're going to hear this name so much more often. The acquisition strengthens Abu Dhabi's growing influence in the international media scene. I mean, we've got Blinks, now we've got All Three Media. IMI is a heavyweight itself. It owns prominent media outlets, The National, Sky News Arabia, Al Ayn News, and CNN Business Arabic, as well as a stake in Euronews, which Naguib Sawir is also the Egyptian billionaire, owns a stake in as well. Let's talk a little bit about All Three Media. It has a prestigious portfolio, produced a string of global hit shows, from the critically acclaimed Fleabag to the reality TV phenomenon Squid Games. Mm-hmm. Oh, have you watched Squid Games?
Oh, yeah, I did.
You did? Did you like it?
I honestly, at the beginning, like when
excuse my sniffling, guys. Dropped, so sorry.
I was trying my best to resist and not watch it.
Yeah.
But then I just like fell, you know, and I watched it. And I'm like, why? I liked it. It was not. It was like stressful. Honestly, it's like, oh my God, no.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I love how you just did that very nonchalant.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, no.
Yeah. The company All Three Media isn't just a one-hit wonder. It's had 50 production labels under its wing. Studio Lambert, Raw TV, and Neil Steele Productions. It's exciting times for Abu Dhabi. Really, really exciting times.
I mean, I thought Sky News Arabia is under Abu Dhabi Media because I worked for them briefly.
Yeah.
But I thought it's under Abu Dhabi Media.
So Redbird IMI was just established in December. So it's relatively new. Let's go to Yasmin Sabri. Ooh. Are you a fan of Yasmin Sabri?
No.
Do you follow celebrity news?
I mean, I don't mind her, but like she kind of like pisses me off.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. Like the thing is, I don't know. I really don't know what it is about her, but I feel like she's very like unnatural in the way that she perceives herself. You know, it's like we can tell, like it's like not you.
Yeah.
Just be you. You know, I can tell if someone's not being them.
Agreed. I mean, I don't know who she is, to be honest. I hear her name every now and then.
She's gorgeous. She's beautiful.
She's an actress, correct?
She is, yeah.
She's an Egyptian actress. She is a celebrity. So a well-known Saudi fashion designer called Yusuf Akbar, there's a controversy surrounding him and Yasmin Sabri. Apparently, he is accusing Sabri's stylist, actually, of deliberately altering one of his creations. Mm-hmm. Known for his dramatic silhouettes and opulent embellishments, Akbar has become a favorite among A-listers seeking show-stopping red carpet moments. Akbar on Instagram expressed outrage that I'm sorry. You know what? This is actually a serious story, right? There is a fashion designer, and these are his designs, and he's outraged that apparently Sabri's stylist had cut the tail of a dress he had loaned for a prestigious event. So, okay, so he changed his design, the stylist for Yasmin Sabri. And Akbar is known for dressing celebrities like Nicole Kidman, Sharon Stone, and Kelly Rowland. He emphasized that while loaning dresses for events is common practice, there needs to be respect for the designer's vision, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Fans of Akbar's agreed with him, and they took to social media criticizing Sabri and her stylist for disrespecting the designer's work, and the incident sparked discussions about the power dynamic between designers and celebrities, some arguing that designers are pressured to cater to unrealistic demands. What do you think of that?
I think if she had bought the dress, then she would have the full right, because it's her dress now.
Yeah, agreed.
If she had loaned the dress, then I'm sorry. That is disrespectful in a way, because you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. I feel like Hisham, our producer, said it's not the first time though. Hisham says she always copies Cristiano Ronaldo's fiance Georgina's style and dresses. Yeah.
That is true, but again, like, see, like, it's not
Hisham,
about, like,
you're
I feel like
so in tune with celebrity news. Since when? Abu Hashima, she was married to him. Yes, yes, Hisham, yeah. Hisham, you have too much power, honestly, speaking into these earpieces. I feel like we should do something about it. It's just too much power for one person, isn't it? It's like playing with your mind. anyways, I do think this sparks a bigger, wider debate around, you know, IPs and... for designers and absolutely having respect for their designs.
Exactly, because, like, look, if someone comes and tells you, hey, you look like this person, you're going to start to dress more like them. Let's put that as, like, a note for
God, I hope not.
Hisham. Because I mean, I don't know. It's just, like, it's something that happens subconsciously, right? Yeah. But regarding the dress,
unless somebody tells me I look like, I don't know, Nicole Kidman or something, then I would definitely start dressing like Nicole Kidman.
But regarding the dress, if she had bought it, then it's her dress. And she's like, you know, I would say, like, she would have the, I'd say, the full right and the full freedom to do whatever she wants with the dress,
agreed,
right?
Agreed.
But if she had borrowed or, like, the dresses alone, then I think that's, like, disrespectful, because, like, you initially liked the dress for that, so why change things?
Yeah. I do agree with you, and I guess it's the same for journalists, right? When you write an article and an editor, you know, changes, alters a lot of things in the article or whatnot. But you know, it's interesting, because most of the time these celebrities can get away with everything and anything, right? Yeah, it's interesting. We should look more into fashion and some of these you know, pain points, like even the smaller designers having their work copied by the bigger kind of fashion brands.
That is true.
So I do think it is a serious, even though I was laughing a little bit about it earlier, but it is no laughing matter. I just thought it was kind of funny, but not really. But yeah, anyways, stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. I can't believe we've been talking for 42 minutes. I didn't even notice.
Girl, just can get along.
I guess I'm a little bit hyper this Monday morning. It's a ratchet Monday morning. Follow us on Smashy Business on Instagram if you want the... Hisham, I'm talking in my ear again, too much power. If you would like the video version of this, go to smashy.tv. Or you know the drill, if you're listening to this on podcasts, get us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you tomorrow.